Let me conclude this last chapter service of the love month with a strong affirmation from 1 Corinthians 13, assertion. And this is faith, hope, that the greatest is. Life is not lost by dying. It is lost minute by minute, day by dragging day, in all the thousand small and hairy ways. These are the words of Stephen Vincent Bennett in describing a perpetuation of the tragic loveless existence. Indeed, the widespread phenomenon of the 21st century is attributed to existential vacuum. This is the feeling of utter, total, and ultimate meaninglessness of human lives. More evident in our age is the interaction that is based upon the amalgamation or the convergence of functions we perform rather than an authentic experience of edifying community. Democratic communication constitutes a series of mechanical responses that have nothing to do with the person himself or herself. Thus, the technique of metropolitan life is unimaginable without the most punctual integration of all activities and mutual relations into a stable and interpersonal time schedule. It is precisely this misapplication of the idea of function and the dependence on techniques that led us to the experience of despair. And this is very prevalent in our time at the present. Likewise, the exercise of gifts has become mechanical, functional or function-oriented, self-centered without bearing whatsoever to the idea or to the desirable growth of the whole person or the desirable growth of the entire community of faith. At times, even within the community of faith, I get to say the value of an individual is determined by what he or she can bring to the table, or by what one has, by what one is capable of performing or doing. And we at times tend to deal with our co-journeyers towards eternity. Primarily, the word primarily is very important here, according to our function and our position. There are times when hands touch ours, but send only an icy chill of unsympathetic encouragement. It is not true. It is not genuine. Because the contact has been not between soul and soul, but only between form and form. You know, love is first and foremost anchored in the very being of a person, not in those characteristics or attributes attached to it. A mystic found himself in front of the door of God. He wanted desperately to enter, but the door would not open. It was locked, and he had no key. So the mystic went around the whole world to search for the key to the door of God, but he could not find it. So he tried using his talents, his gifts, his knowledge, his wealth, but still he cannot open the door of God. Then he heard the voice which told him, "Look within you." And he did as he was told. And then he looked within, and opening his heart, he found the key and used it. The door of God opened, and inside the mystic found God. God is love. The key is called the key of who I am. And 1 Corinthians said, "Though I possess all the necessary spiritual gifts, without love, I am nothing." We are not dealing with the gifts, but we are relating with a person. You know, love brings validity as well as relevance to our gifts, because it now becomes the highest form of participation in the life of God that deepens our unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as reality is interrelatedness, so is truth And now, some people have sustained usual misconception about love because they have been traditionally oriented to the concept of needing love. You know, love is not merely an immediate or instinctive feeling, but it is a growing, mature attitude of commitment. Love, as distinct from being in love, is not merely a feeling or a consciousness, and I like this very much, but elsewhere, it is a deep unity maintained by the will, deliberately strengthened by habit, reinforced by grace which both partners ask and receive from God. Loving relationships don't just happen, they grow. In fact, we do not fall in love, but we grow in love. I have read something as a confession of Chris Aquino. You know Chris Aquino? The former, the daughter of the former President of the Republic of the Philippines, as well as the sister of the present president. She had many relationships in the past, and I thank God that he wrote these words. She said, "I have realized this important life truth. True love does not find you, neither do we find it, but we build true love together. Love is not that immediate instinctive feeling we are seized by the arrows of eros than love, but it is actually a deliberate decision of building this true love, this genuine love together as a part of the community. Love is not an immediate experience of pleasure as well. This is a common error that we have, but it is a self-deep sacrifice. Love is not self-centered or egocentric, but it is person-centered. The lover is always participating in the highest fulfillment of the being of the beloved. Love is not also a manipulation of someone toward one's desired end, but it is a total acceptance of another being." Allow me to explain this along with the three spheres of existence being given to us by so many people. There are three spheres of existence, and you can identify in your home which lover you are. Are you an aesthetic lover, or an ethical lover, or a religious lover? The first one is the aesthetic sphere of existence. You know, the word aesthetic comes from the Greek word meaning to sense or to perceive. It is actually a sensation that is never satisfied. It has the same root as the word feeling or theater. You know, a theater, we watch the spectacle in which ourselves are not enrolled in it. The spectacle can be either interesting or boring, and the interesting and the boring are the dominant categories that will reach the distinct view of experiences. You know, the intellect one wants also look things at this particular with a degree of detachment. You know, an escape is like an Epicurean that I am always mentioning in class. And what is an Epicurean? It is the one who enjoys the fastidious foods and rare wines and the only thing
the more trivial. And I like the illustration of Kurt Gore, where he said the great lover Don Juan in Mozart's Don Giovanni.
The magician does the pressure of the actor for it. I never release an apple than more than once with the same woman. Why? Because he can never enjoy the woman with him, because he is always in a hurry of having another woman next to him.
So how can we enjoy the moment with you when you're anticipating and thinking of the next moment of your life that can be the object of your sensation, of your pleasure? But I thank God that not all the Greeks believe that this is just an attitude of frenzy, of expressing your animal instinct. But ecstasy sought by the Greeks during that time is not necessarily sensual, but it is also a symbol of the passionate intercourse with the divine, and that is the stopping stage of existence. And if we understand the love, perhaps most of us are. The second sphere of existence is the ethical. The ethical was more trivial, an affirmation in individual's absolute choice. It is both the choice of self and the choice based on the eternal or the higher terms or purpose. It is the ethical decision that gives a person a sense of inner coherence, as well as a task and a vocation. Therefore, in the sphere of existence, love is a choice. It is the act of the will, of freedom and choice. It is to will one thing. Let me illustrate this philosophical view of the aesthetic love. A woman was married to a stern, male chauvinist military man. You know, this military man laid out his day's duties and expected her to perform. So she has to wake up at a certain time in the morning to prepare his breakfast and have to off to work. And as soon as this military man let her out, she has to wash the dishes in the kitchen and to wash the floor and to do all the household chores. And when this chauvinist man returned in the evening, he made it a point to check to see if what he had wanted had been carried out. Wow, that's so disgusting. I hope nobody in this congregation is the chauvinist pig like this man. But you know, this man got tired. Oh, I have to give her that to do this in the morning. Therefore, I have decided I wanted to give 2 by 10 rules. And he posted it in the clear view on the kitchen so that his wife can see it easily. So 10 rules every day. So you have to perform according to the 10 rules and regulations that I have given you. But you know, in the course of time, the love of his wife was replaced by misery. And she felt herself reduced to the object she lived in. She was frozen in fear, and her life becomes a barren round of duty. She is performing out of gratitude, but not out of love. That was so exhausting. You have to abide by the 10 rules and regulations every day. But unfortunately, I think that is the best term, unfortunately, the husband died. And sometime later, she met a kind man who knew the essence of love, responsibility, and the meaning of marriage. And they became husband and wife. And you know what? This person was not giving her that to do this, that 10 rules being posted in the plain view at the kitchen, but his wife awakened her husband with a good aroma of coffee, with good breakfast, and she was completing everything that she was doing during her previous marriage. But when she was actually selecting and choosing all the things to be sold during the market sale, she came across the 10 rules and regulations from her former husband. And we were amazed that she has done and completed all those, but she went beyond and she performed with joy, dignity, and passion. Because this man knew the meaning of weddings, the meaning of love, the meaning of relationship. You know, sometimes in ethical love, we have to endure situations, especially for those who are residents of the Republic, because this is the only Asian nation that has no divorce. So, the motto is not more no kami, but sometimes more no to me. It is the motto, because we have to stick with one wife or with one husband. But the Lord love does nothing than no for me. And the Lord does more than what the Lord sits down. And that ethical love is described as an ideal relationship. It is subject to subject communion. It is a dialogical communion of consciousness. It is the degree of subjective involvement in the person in a relationship. Why? Because we belong to the universal and we have to perform and to speak with the responsibility that the Bible and God has given us. But is this the highest stage of the sphere of existence according to Kierkegaard? No. The first one is very sexual. The second one is brutally and very legalistic. But the last one is called the religious sphere of existence. You know, religious love is a leap of faith to the alone. It is an act of committing our alone bundle. You know the word agape or the word agapon, the verb here means no more than to be content with something, to be satisfied with something, nothing more, one thing, nothing more. It is both an unconditional love and an exclusive love. It is a mystery. You know, but this particular stage revolves around the concept or the principle of kenosis or self-emptying. Love takes a downward or a condescending direction. That's exactly what Christ has done for us when He divested Himself of all the heavenly privileges in order to be with us, His beloved. The one who is created in the image of God. Therefore, here the cross figure symbolizes God's self-sacrificial love. Agape is explicitly the love that comes down. Let me close this sermon on love with this illustration. A very philosophical illustration, but it is full of meaning. Some centuries ago, there lived a German Jewish philosopher named Moses Mendelssohn. Brilliant, compassionate man, but with one fault. He was a hunchback. But despite his condition, he fell in love with a young, beautiful, and charming woman named Gretchen, the daughter of a prosperous banker. And Mendelssohn was visiting, perhaps regularly, the house of Gretchen. But since he was so embarrassed with his condition, he did not unfold his intention with the girl. But the time comes when it was really unbearable for him. I have expressed my feelings. So Mendelssohn asked the father of Gretchen if he could see him on the pretext that he wanted to say goodbye to her, or to see her and to say goodbye to her. Therefore, the father agreed. There's nothing wrong with saying goodbye to my beautiful daughter. Although I cannot accept you because of your physical condition, but you are a brilliant man, you are a compassionate man, so you can see my daughter. So then the son went upstairs, where the girl was busy in her middle work. At first, she avoided looking at the son. Not that pleasant looking eye. And during the conversation, eventually the topic went around marriage. Ah, that's great. Be careful, this man is a philosopher. He can manipulate words and concepts in order to pursue his intention. Why this is not the case? But Mendelssohn was giving to himself. And she then asked him, if the girl was the one who asked the question, don't ask a philosopher a question. Hello. And you know what was the question? Do you believe in the old saying that marriages are made in heaven? And Mendelssohn said, of course I do, he replied. And while we are on this subject, I might as well tell you of something really unusual. And you know, he said, all of us know that when boys are born in heaven, the angels call out loud, "Oh, it's a boy!" And everybody would know that there is a boy. Angels in heaven call out for all to hear, "We have a handsome boy, and this little boy is destined to have this girl as a special wife." And it is declared and decreed for all eternity, and no one can change it. It is permanent, because villages are born in heaven. And so he said, when I was born, the angels made a special announcement about my birth family. However, the angels was for a woman, for a different woman, because the angels saw that the wife of Mendelssohn will have a terrible cup on her back. Oh, and Mendelssohn said, "Oh, no, Lord, no, Lord, defeat it before the horse of heaven, praying that, Lord, please don't make her a hunchback, because a girl with a hunchback would be hard, she would be terrible and painful, and they can be, or she can be a point of ridicule and awesome laughing among the people," or something like that. And you know, he said, "And God listened to my petition. He made me become to my God and let the woman was born." And you know, I am the Lord. And so, let's end the game. Loving, faithful, and love. A loving love came down or never. It is absorbing even the most undesirable things of another person. And that's exactly what Christ has done for us. He became sin for us. He absorbed our iniquity so that through his poverty and through his death and through his pains and suffering, he can be effective the love of God that can render ultimate pain and satisfaction. And that is what we really appreciate about Jesus Christ, the second person of death. He wrote the principle of the acting out. Not is an acceptance, but it is also a complete designation. 9%. It is personal identity. Now we have resistance.
All right, but we have the word that we have to embrace because of the idea that many people are living in the death sentence. They should have waited. How can not be the physical mountain? We speak with the convention. Why? Because I can appear to be very strong in force. So it is not moving, but it is enduring the mountain. We are numbers. But are we playing by giving up ourselves for the truth of the beloved? By suffering, so it is your choice. We are a
fighter. We've been justified in verses 3, 4, and 5,
because it has been worthy and it has ethical solutions. Only understanding how it is working together and extends exclusively provided with us with our body. So let's pursue that and be with the highest value of the world. Still, we are within the Western denominations.